is he has access to and on what basis. And if he isn't willing to live up to the conditions that you have set to make your property available, then you may deny that in the future. May simply say that this contract isn't profitable to me, so if you can't use my property in a way that is compatible with what I want, then you just won't use it. And
which don't let him off, they will.
Right. Because it isn't his world to roam in as freely as he wants to. This property is owned by other people. So in giving the child freedom, you are not saying that now I am abdicating every right I ever considered, meaning every value I ever had, to my own freedom. That from now on my property is at his disposal to do with as he sees fit, that he can break all the lamps in the house, that he can do all these other things. You grant him access, starting at zero again, recognizing that he owns nothing, and that in exchange for what you want from him, you're willing to provide certain things to him. And of course, I think it's important as early as possible in life to establish the two-sided basis of the exchange, that what you are giving to him is in exchange for something very definitely in return. To a certain extent, it's in the nature of a gift, meaning the pleasure of that child is all that you require in return for what you're doing, and that you're very glad to do so simply to preserve his life so that you can continue to derive pleasure from it. But even in the face of that, I think it's valuable for the child to learn as early as possible the fact that everything comes at the expenditure of resources, and that you will give him access to the living room in exchange for his not just respecting the furniture in the living room, but in exchange for his doing something for you on a regular basis, that he will do something to earn his meals and so forth. It may be totally out of kilter as far as market expenses for food and so forth are concerned, meaning he couldn't go anywhere else in the marketplace and get meals for what he's going to do for you, that and you could hire somebody much cheaper than what he does too. But the fact is that on the basis of what he is capable of doing and so forth, you begin to establish the nature of the exchange, that it's two parties. And he will recognize very early in life on that basis, I think, that no one owes him anything. And if there is one principle that I would love to have any child hold as in the absence of all other possible principles through his whole growing years, it would be that no one owes him anything, that everything he is getting from other people is because of something he is providing them, whether he realizes it or not. That if his mother fixes his meals, it is because she would rather fix the meals than not do it, but not because for some vague reason she has to do so, and that he is holding a club over her head. But rather that whatever he's getting from others is because of something that he's doing, and he ought to have a special interest then in finding out what it is that he's doing that gets this for him, so that he can better understand what the consequences of his acts are. That if his kids like to play with him, it's because they want to, not because they have to. I mean, his friends. So what is it about him that makes him valuable to these friends? What is it that he could do to enhance that? And so on. Rather than the fact that he can expect they will come tomorrow because they came yesterday. No one owes him anything. And the earlier he realizes this, the more realistic attitude he can have, and the more he will appreciate the love of his parents, because they will realize that the love is being given because of something special about him, not that it's some great thing that everybody, every parent, is automatically required to give to every child because of the nature of parent-child relationships and so forth. So, does that answer the question?
It certainly does.
Good. Yes?
You insinuated that us individuals might need air and water. Are those merely beans and not ends?
Yes, and the need presupposes, as I mentioned, an objective, meaning that once an objective has been considered, then a certain means may be necessary to that end. And this, of course, has to be taken in context with what I said earlier about don't get hooked on the means and say to yourself that, you know, life will end if I don't have this particular means, leaving aside air and water for the moment. But the idea that happiness is automatically done, my life is finished if I don't preserve this one method of obtaining happiness and so forth. But anytime you have presupposed an objective, there is always something that is needed in order to get it. I find it better to look at it that way than merely to try to apply the arbitrary distinction that beyond a certain point a want becomes a need. I never got anywhere that way trying to make any use out of it. Sounds like somebody's snoring in here. Quietly in the back.
I'd like to have you elaborate again on this. We're children playing with one another. Sometimes the others go away and they leave this one child alone. And he is tremendously hurt by the fact that they don't want to play with him.